All right. Hello and welcome everyone to the GGG podcast. I am Paul and I am joined over here by Phil. Phil, how you doing this week?
Hello, I'm doing pretty well. I've been going all in on trying to finish Valhalla. I haven't finished it, which feels weird.
Really? Oh my goodness.
I feel I'm towards the end of it because I'm just like breezing through up to that last fight.
Sure. Sure.
But that game is a lot of fun. And I'm like have my sights set on going back to Lies of P next. That is like the next. I gotta go back and finish that before some crazy stuff comes out this week.
Yeah. It's been a couple months since you played that, if I remember correctly.
I played it when it launched, and I hear that they've actually updated it and like made it a little easier, which I didn't necessarily have a problem with. Mm-hmm. But I think I might have like time now, you know?
Ooh, time.
I might have a little bit of time to explore.
Right on.
What have you been playing?
I have been playing so many little, like a little charcuterie board of things. I was playing a lot before we started recording today. I've been playing some Deep Rock. I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate still.
Nice.
I've made substantial progress, I feel like, in Baldur's Gate. Having a fun time. Very good game. But as I iterated last week, like, I have problems with the gameplay. and there are some serious issues that I feel that some people have completely chosen to ignore in for the sake of it being a perfect game.
It's true. It's like, perfect.
I have had multiple times like this glitch where my characters will not jump and the game will like completely stop. And like I tell my character to jump and they refuse to jump. They just sit there and then I can't give them any other orders. And this has happened multiple times to me when I'm playing by myself. And then also on Sundays, I've actually started playing the multiplayer, you know, as a campaign with a group. And we had that happen to us as a group. We had it happen to us. And that like is out how we ended the session, which was really discouraging.
What happens in the glitch? Because I know that there's like certain circumstances under which you cannot jump, but the game doesn't tell you.
Yeah, it's a glitch. I guarantee you, it's like the only way that I've managed to fix it is by saving, and then loading my save, and then as soon as I load my save, the character jumps. Like without me saying anything, and so it's probably happened like 4 or 5 times now, so it's definitely getting to the point where it's annoying. So
there was a segment of time I stopped playing Baldur's Gate because they did an update that changed how you interact with something that was like better in some things, but then it made doors like you couldn't click to go through a door because then you would run up to it and just close it if it was open. That said, one of the news stories that I remembered or that I forgot was about Baldur's Gate. And since it's not much of a story,
please
you'll say it here, but apparently Xbox has been having an issue with Baldur's Gate, where it just doesn't save like for hours. It'll just not save your most recent content. Because it's like kind of big saves. The Xbox just won't write it. And it usually happens the more you play. So like if you have a longer session, the last 2 hours might be completely unsaved. Larian's tried to fix it, and it's actually probably an Xbox firmware issue, which is such a bummer.
It is absolutely an Xbox firmware issue. So, you know, I also have a problem with a Windows firmware issue I have been having with The Finals. If you have Windows 11, I don't know if you're running Windows 11, I would recommend not doing it. For the time being, one of the most annoying things, and my girlfriend has Windows 11 as well, and she's had this problem numerous times where it has these new settings where it will disable USB power if it thinks that power could be going somewhere else. And so what that means practically is that if she's playing a video game, the computer will be like, I need more power for this video game. So I'm going to turn off the USB ports.
I'm going to turn off your controller. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'm going to turn off your mouse and your keyboard. I'm going to turn off your headphones. I'm going to turn off anything that's plugged into a USB. And so you have to like go into the control panel and the device manager and like specifically tell Microsoft not to do this when it feels like you're using a lot of power.
Hey, can you not turn off my inputs, please? Yeah,
for real. And it's just like, why did you think this was going to be a good idea? Or do you think that I don't need the things that are plugged into my USB ports? Like, and so I've been having the problem with it when I've been playing the finals, where my mouse will just turn off. And it doesn't happen with any other game for whatever reason, but my mouse will just disconnect, and like, obviously, you know, not a great game to have your mouse disconnected. So so that has also been frustrating. So Microsoft, fix your firmware, please fix your firmware. So we'll talk about you more later, but for right now, if you haven't already, please like and subscribe to the Golden Glazed YouTube channel, and follow us on Spotify if you're listening to a podcast and everything like that. Okay, let's get into some game releases we actually have this week. Oh my goodness.
It's the first week where we like pulled the cover off of the old car, and it wasn't just like a bunch of raccoons fighting in the shape of a car. There's actually stuff there.
It's a Honda Accord.
It's not great, but we can get us somewhere.
Yeah, we can drive somewhere with this. So first on the list is Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown. I don't believe it is out for another 2 days, but I think I've seen lots of footage online, so definitely people have access to it, and the embargo has definitely been lifted. So people having really good reactions to this. A more simplistic Prince of Persia, 2D side-scroller, platformer, fighter. I mean, do you know how much they're charging for this, Phil? Because, I mean, if it's on the cheap side, it might be worth picking up.
Here's my thing. It's they're charging $50 for it, which is okay. Yeah. I would, if it was $40, I would consider a day one. But I think I'm going to wait till it drops down to $30 now, just because I'm like, you went too greedy. That said, I haven't played the game. I don't know. I don't know if it's as good as, like, Metroid. What was the most recent one? Metroid.
Oh, I have no idea. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the subtitle.
That was a great game. I just threw hours away, and I love a good Metroidvania, and it's probably time for one. And since Silk Song hasn't come out, we all need one, I guess. But yeah, I think I might wait a little while on this guy to pick it up and try it out, and probably get it for the Switch, because if it can run well on the Switch, that's like a perfect Switch game for me.
Sure, or just buy a PlayStation Portal. I did not know it was $50. That price is a little scary for a 2D game for me.
The Metacritic's running at 86 right now.
I mean, lot better than I expected it to be, but yeah, that's definitely like a sale purchase, I think. Next on the list, something I am so excited for: The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, coming out in just a few days. I'm very pumped for it. I've already seen, like, I was nervous because people who own The Last of Us Part 2 and were trying to get the upgrade edition, like, we haven't seen that on the PlayStation Store yet, and so it's been a little, is it actually $10? I said it would be $10, but I haven't like seen it, so I don't know whether to believe it or not. And so now when I go to The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, it says that I already own a different version of this game. So I'm very excited to do the upgrade, to pick it up. And to be honest, I'll probably try out the roguelike mode first, because that looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, I'm very interested in a lot of that game, because I think I've recently, within the past years, tried to start replaying it, and then I was like, well, Last of Us Part 1 just came out. They're probably going to do a remaster. Let me wait. But everything about this has got me excited. Like, this is probably one of the few games that I, and part one, are the type of game that I would like to listen to the developer, like, VO track where they talk about, like, the director's cut, what went into each scene, what they were going for, because it's so rich. And, like you said, the roguelike elements, yeah. Like, the combat was so good in The Last of Us 2 that it made me feel bad that I didn't really get to fully master it, because each fight was kind of like, I was barely getting out of there by the skin of my teeth. So I really want to, like, focus on doing some of those really cool, like, the TikTok clips that you see of, like, Ellie diving backwards and John Wicking people.
Yeah, for real. Oh, my God. Give me a John Wick skin, you know?
Oh.
Put it on.
He'd be fine in The Last of Us.
I mean, I wonder how many characters they're going to have for the roguelike mode. So very excited about that. I know you can eventually play as Joel, so that is obviously the goal.
I want a Pedro Pascal Joel skin, and I will say it every episode, even after the game comes out.
I'm sure they just got to find the right price for Pedro, and they'll get it going. Oh, okay. Looks like we got another release this week.
Yeah.
Care to tell us about it, Phil?
Yeah, this is PAL World, coming out the 19th on Game Pass. There's a list of other games coming on Game Pass, but this is the one that I feel most excited about. It is the weird Pokemon with guns game, but you're in, like, a...
Amazing, not weird.
Yes. No, I've been, like, finding little bits about it here and there, and everything that I've heard seems pretty promising. It's mostly about base building and, like, capturing these pals to help get resources for you, to help, like, light a furnace, to help build your base and craft resources. So such a weird concept, but, like, such a cool blending of these two. It is basically Pokemon meets the forest, or Pokemon meets Minecraft, I guess is maybe smarter to say.
Sure. Pokemon, yeah, with guns, Pokemon meets, I don't know. It's Pokemon meets an update. It changes. Yeah. It adds content instead of just reskinning animals. Whatever.
I'm the trash man. I hate that Pokemon so much.
All right. Well, those are all very exciting and actual games. So very, very excited that we are back to getting some releases this week. Let's get into the news. So first up, we got Foam Stars has officially gotten a release date, and it's real soon. It turns out Foam Stars is going to be coming out February 6th. So for the Foam Star fans out there, you get to play it nice and soon.
Yeah, for everyone who really wanted to play that Squid Kids game but doesn't have a Nintendo, or
Splatoon.
Splatoon, there we go. Squid Kids, what did I say? For everyone that couldn't handle the Switch's weird controls for first-person shooters, here you go. It's Splatoon we have at home, and it's a PS Plus release, right?
I believe so. Yes. It will be available through all tiers of the PlayStation Plus subscription. So, we should definitely pick that up.
Yeah, it's a little worried, because, like, around the same time last year, they did that All-Stars Racing, like the Crash Stars, what was it called?
Oh, yeah. It was a launch title for the PlayStation 5, I believe.
Was it?
It was Launch Window. Mm-hmm. Or something. I got it for free. So
yes, but that was one of the ones that I was. I think it came out like the February after the PlayStation 5 launched.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, exciting! And it was. I kind of wonder if they put, like, February free PS Plus big games as, like, here you go. Maybe this one will be a live service if we can manage it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that this game conceptually is probably a little bit stronger. You know, the racing arena games, they're not a popular genre anymore. They're just not. There's no, the Twisted Metal is gone, except for the freaking Amazon Prime show. And you know, they don't really do well. Mario Kart's always going to be popular, but
yeah, but mostly just the racing version of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that it's going to, like, get a player base built in, because similar game that launched this way is Rocket League, which I still play on and off to this day. So
right on.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Ooh, I'm so yawny today. Jesus. All right.
You got a flute over there? Because you're looking mighty yawny today. You guys remember singer, well, not singer, songwriter. Songwriter, flautist Yanni. He had a bunch of hair, and he always wore, like, open collared shirts.
A bunch of
Look hair. Up Yanni later.
All right, I will. I know a Yanni. I got a friend whose name is Yanni. All right. Ooh, okay. Phil, can you take this next news story?
I will take this next one. Mm-hmm. So Rockstar is suing Remedy over its use of the R logo. So
yeah, that was a good pause there.
yeah. It's truly the hard R that will wreck their relationship. Basically, Remedy is using, I think it's a slightly changed logo from like older iterations, but it's kind of like R laid over another R. Kind of, I think because Alan Wake 2 is like about this parallel story, parallel worlds, everything they do has this like parallel worlds vibe to it that's kind of their new logo. But apparently Take-Two Creative, which is the company that owns Rockstar, just to preface, this is not Rockstar doing this, it's just their boss is doing it. They think that R is too close to the Rockstar R that looks kind of like a road sign, and they are trying to sue it. It seems like a court case is going to fall through.
I agree. If you are able to look it up on your phone or your computer or whatever and look at these logos, yeah, I don't see it, Rockstar. I think this is a stretch. And if you want to claim that the logos are similar, it's, you know, it's because you guys both start with R. You're using the letter R, and you don't like own the letter R. sorry, but I mean, you know, maybe at best Remedy has to change the font slightly, but like I really don't see this holding up. So Take Two, not a very cool move here, especially with all the crap you guys get away with. So
I mean, Take Two also did this with the game It Takes Two, which was released by the team that made what's the divorce game? That's the wrong. Actually, that is the.
That's the name of the game. What are you talking about?
That's the name of the game. Okay, yeah. Sorry. I was thinking of the one where the two guys are escaping from prison. It Takes Two to Escape from Prison, no. I think is the title.
No.
And then that other game they made called It Just Takes Two Brothers.
Okay. Well, I know what you're talking about.
This bit is going fantastically. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's just, I think Take-Two Interactive has kind of been known to be like the wet blanket over a lot of cool developers. And it's just a bummer. I think Rockstar is autonomous, but it just sucks that Rockstar is even getting dragged into this.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what this, you know what this seems like to me? It's like this is their team of lawyers. You know, they haven't done anything in a while, and so they're like, what can we do? We need to justify our jobs. And so
like they were watching the Game Awards and they were like, Alan Wake 2 got nom for Game of the Year, huh? Sue him.
Yep. Pretty much. Yep, pretty much. I can see it now.
Well, speaking of corporate boredom, that carries me on to the next story that I'd like to introduce, which is the Tomb Raider original trilogy remaster that is coming out, I believe, on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 at the very least, which makes me wonder why the PlayStation 4, but you know, whatever. It's fine.
I mean, there's still that there. There's still way more PlayStation 4s out there right now than PS5s. So.
But those people aren't buying new games. They're playing the same copy of NFL Madden 17 that they have.
Well, maybe they want to go all the way back to the PS1 era. Like, how remastered are these games? Like, they're not like they're not going to get like the Crash Bandicoot treatment, are they? Like with a new engine or?
I don't know. I don't believe it's a new engine. I believe it's like fully new lighting and the textures are redone. So Lara looks like a lot better. All the artifacts in the room look a lot better. And the lighting looks like, you know, when you see Minecraft with those lighting mods or like ray tracing.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's more like that, but it does still have kind of that throwback aesthetic, which I think they're wisely taking advantage of being kind of popular right now.
Sure.
With games like Valheim and Lethal Company.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, yeah, for Tomb Raider fans out there, you know, I think the new Tomb Raider games are really cool. So, yeah, but yeah, to each their own.
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, it's not for me because Lara Croft in one of these, she's in the snow and she's just wearing a jacket and her shorts. Why, Laura? Put on more clothes. I know. I know that that's not what
I know
the
skeevy
developers... I know you're cold.
See, in the new Tomb Raiders, they give her clothing. It's crazy. It's
amazing. Yeah, that's you know, it's the wokeification of America.
When will it end? Okay, so next on the list, we got Frostpunk 2. A bunch of Frostpunk 2 details went out today. We got our first gameplay trailer, which I was very excited for. So we got to see like how the UI is going to look. What are some new scenarios you're going to have to deal with? The entire game looks so much more expansive than the first one. So I'm really excited. I know that my girlfriend is as well. And fun fact, although we do not have a release date for Frostpunk 2, Frostpunk 2 will be free through Game Pass on day one when it comes out. So it's supposed to come out the first half of this year. We'll see when that actually happens. But another great day one game for Game Pass. So right on.
Yeah, man. I don't know much about Frostpunk. It looks, I've watched the trailer. It looks incredible. And it looks like, it could fill that hole in me that I have from Black and White and Black and White 2 that I haven't fully been able to. Granted, there's no like giant lion or dog or whatever that you can have as a pet, I assume.
We'll see.
Oh man, I'm so excited. But Game Pass continues to be my MVP like game purchase. If you can, and if you get it on a computer, well, even better. But so many bangers come out on Game Pass for free day one or otherwise.
Right on. Yeah, absolutely. They've had a lot of great games. I wonder how they can afford this, to be honest. Because, you know, I think PlayStation Plus has a very good subscription service, but something they have not done is they've not put like their big titles just for free for people with a subscription. So Microsoft's got to be losing money, but that means it's good things for gamers. So I'm all about that. Moving right along, another game I am super, super excited for is Helldivers 2 is going to be coming out February 9th. We got a launch trailer for it. I loved it. Mm-hmm. It's, for any fans of, Starship Troopers. You will love Helldivers. It is exactly that aesthetic. And I'm so excited to play with friends. We got news that came out saying that PlayStation and PC are going to be completely cross-play. So I'm super excited about that, although I will probably get it on my PlayStation just because I got the first Helldivers on my PlayStation. And
it feels right on PlayStation.
Yeah, it's like I also like third-person shooters on console and whatnot. And it's, you know, it's not a competitive shooter, so I feel like I don't have to have the mouse precision. But I'm so excited for it. It looks like there's a lot of... I hope the game is very expansive. I hope it's not just like, this is one world and clear this world. Here are the five levels. So we'll see, though. What about you, Phil? I don't know if you're as much of a Helldivers fan. Are you excited for this?
I am excited for it. I have a Helldivers-related story that I would get into. But just imagine if they were like, hey, we teamed up with... the No Man's Sky developers and like pretty much every planet that's in No Man's Sky that's been generated already, we got in the game. You gotta go give them all freedom. No, but I do hope there is an amount of Helldivers levels, planets, biomes, and enemy types, because hot dang, it just looks so much fun.
Yeah.
I I played the original Helldivers like on a weird promotional thing at one of my old jobs with Casper Van Dien, who played Johnny Rico, and the writer of the movie Starship Troopers 1, because they were like, they were doing an animated movie where he was returning as Johnny Rico to do the voice. And it was really fun because just watching these two old men try to play Helldivers and me being like, oh, I'm going to come revive you, okay? All right, shoot the bugs. Shoot the, okay. All right. Let's just talk about your movie. It was very, very fun. And it proves that they, at least everyone seems to know, like, oh, yeah, this is the Starship Troopers game. Yeah. Sure, there are other Starship Troopers games, but this is the real one.
Yeah. Unofficial, but official. Absolutely. Very excited to shoot aliens. I'm very curious as to how the classes work, because if I remember correctly, I thought there were classes in the first game. We'll see if there's
I believe
classes.
There are.
Yeah.
Or there were, rather. I like the element of it that looks like you can get blown up by your friends. Like, it seems like a fun, silly time with your buddies, which is what I'm most excited about. So
Absolutely. All right. So moving right along, Ubisoft recently was quoted in saying that they want gamers to start to become more comfortable not owning games. And this was in reference to them talking about their subscription service, Ubisoft Plus. And so they're trying to reformat and rework how Ubisoft Plus works. I really don't know what that means, because to me, there's only so many ways a subscription service can work. You pay a certain amount of money once a month, you get certain things. It's like, I don't know, like, if you're just adding new content. One of the things that they said specifically was they're going to start adding their old classic Ubisoft titles in a lower tiered subscription. So if you want to get the really low tiered Ubisoft subscription, you can play all the old Ubisoft games, which, like, I think makes sense to a degree, but after you think about it for more than a couple minutes, you're like, that doesn't make sense at all. Because
what am I gonna play, Assassin's Creed 1?
and it's just like, in the way that PlayStation does their subscription is they have the Essential, they have Plus, and then they have Premium. And the Premium one is the one where you get all of the, you know, PlayStation classics and everything like that, and the PlayStation 1 games, the PS2 games, you know, some PS3 games, you get access to all of that stuff. And to me, that makes sense, because you're charging the highest amount for the subscription for the person who's like such a gamer, they need to go back.
But they're probably going to go back and play Tekken 1.
Exactly. Yeah. They want to go back and play Tekken 1. A more casual fan who's going to spend less money on a subscription service, to me, is not going to like subscribe to that. So that it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And, you know, just reading this article, I'm just reminded that Ubisoft Plus exists in the first place. So
yeah, I was happy forgetting about that.
Yeah.
I will say, I think it's, for me, I think it's an interesting gambit that there are maybe people out there who are like, yeah, I'll pay $30 for the year so I can like have all these old games available to me, just like, so I don't have to get up off the couch and like play some of my old favorites.
Sure.
That said, I do think like the PlayStation model is a little bit interesting, that the highest tier gets you the old games and the second to highest tier gets you pretty much like when Horizon Forbidden West dropped, that was on the middle tier. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like gamers are pretty comfortable not owning games currently. Like, the digital age is upon us.
Yeah.
You have Game Pass, you have PlayStation Plus and Premium and all that stuff, and this library of games that we don't own, but probably all commonly play at least a few of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's kind of old news a little bit, because like you said, it's a digital world. Like, I don't really buy games physically anymore. Like, I haven't bought a PC game physically in probably 10 years. You know, I think I own like one or two physical PlayStation 5 games. And so it's like, I think we are getting used to it. I'm very curious to see, though, once we get to the point of like one of these companies goes under and I own a game A, B, and C with that company. And now I only owned it digitally and now they're under. So does my ownership not exist anymore? And I'm kind of wondering if Ubisoft and other companies are starting to use this language because they don't want to be held to a legal responsibility. You know, it's like, because if everything's a subscription service and nobody owns anything, if the subscription goes away or the business goes away or whatever, they are not legally obligated to do anything for you, as opposed to owning things digitally is a lot more complicated. So I'm curious. I wonder which company this will happen with first, if it does happen. Like, yeah.
I mean, Ubisoft's a strong contender. They're not PlayStation or Microsoft, who has unlimited money.
Right.
Speaking of companies doing stuff to save things that are kind of on the way out, you want to talk about Overwatch 2, Paul?
Yeah, let's talk about Overwatch 2. So, under new management... so this is one of the first major changes coming to Overwatch 2 since the Microsoft takeover, and essentially they're making some tweaks to healing. The community is going crazy with backlash, but you know, I would only expect Overwatch's community to be resistant to any changes whatsoever, unless it was just more content.
So, we're making all the waifus dudes, then literally several countries would explode. They would just go nuclear. It's done.
Yes. So what they're doing is they're trying to add survivability to tanks as well as their support characters. And so there's now, like, you can regenerate some. It's adding health regeneration at a very, very small little increment. Of like, you can back off and you can regenerate health now. And that wasn't something that you could do before. You had to go find a health pack or something like that. And I think ultimately the goal of this is to incentivize more people to play support and tank roles, because now there's only three roles in the game. I guess it always was that way in Overwatch, but support, tank, and damage. And so they got too many people are in damage queue. And they need to incentivize playing the other roles. So I think this is their first step in doing that.
Interesting.
But I'm glad that they're changing something. So under new management, I don't know if it'll be a positive change, but they are changing something. So
I'm, after fumbling the bag from Overwatch 1 to Overwatch 2, it's such a calamitous manner. Anything they could do to fix where they're at, like, they're kind of at a nice place where they've cratered a little bit, maybe they're at rock bottom, so they could just make changes and do willy-nilly stuff until they get a really good game.
Maybe or maybe like work on a second game before you just call it that, but who knows. Like,
hey guys, we're gonna make the single player part, you're gonna love it, it's gonna be amazing, you're gonna do co-op. We're not going to do that anymore, actually.
I never believed that. I never believed that there was going to be like a single... It's like the story of Overwatch is completely told through these, you know, cinematic little short films that they put up on YouTube and they put up on their website, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what the gameplay of Overwatch is and makes absolutely no freaking sense at all. And like, I get it with a lot of games, you know, suspension of disbelief to a point, but like, they've created like a fandom of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So weird. Anyway.
That's an excellent way to put it.
Anyway, speaking of Microsoft, we are going to jump into our main topic this week. Today is Tuesday, January the 16th. That's when we're recording. And the major story right now is that apparently there was a rumored Halo Battle Royale project that was recently scrapped. So this rumor started floating around a couple of days ago. And the rumor is that the decision was made before the holidays that it would not be happening.
Okay.
Oh, he's now, ready. You're ready. Let's go.
I got a question.
All right, yeah. Boop, boop.
Wasn't there going to be a battle royale in Halo Forever or whatever the last one's called?
Halo
Unlimited.
Halo Infinite.
Yeah, Halo Infinite. the memorable, beautiful name. Wasn't there supposed to be a battle royale mode within that? Or, like, I feel like back when they announced Halo Infinite, they were like, we're going to do multiplayer. It's going to be what you remember. It's going to be what you love. We're also going to do a battle royale because that's hot right now. Was this that dying off or?
To me, I mean, the way it's just a rumor. Microsoft, as far as I'm concerned, has not commented on this. But this, from what it says, is that this has been a long running project. And it was never disclosed. It kind of sounds like it was going to be its own thing. Because if it was going to be an add-on to Halo Infinite, it probably would have happened because it was being worked on for so long. And it would explain what the team was working on or doing in the meantime. Because Halo, I mean, aside from the seasonal updates, nothing has really happened with it. So, like, this could explain a lot. But, I mean, as usual, Microsoft, I'm sitting here and I'm like, if it was a separate game, like, why like, just keep adding content to Halo Infinite. If you want to charge people for that content, charge them for the content, like, make your money back. That's fine. If you added like an expansion to Halo Infinite where it's like, even, you know, you could even do like a cosmetics thing so you could still have it free to play or whatever. It's like, if you actually put the project in, people would buy the battle pass, the $15, the $20, whatever it is. But I'm like left baffled over here. Like,
I feel like this is one of those situations where they were working on this for Halo Infinite. They were like, all right, we got a battle royale mode. It's going to be great. And then they were like, you know, we could make this its own game. And they kind of just went bigger and bigger with it. And we have seen the absolute bottom dropout of Battle Royales. The only one that still exists, I feel like, is Fortnite. And Apex Legends is there picking up its scraps.
What about COD?
I forgot that game existed.
It's a pretty popular game, Phil. Like,
it is, but I feel like the Battle Royale net is, I guess, pretty good. And I guess
Call of Duty Warzone is the
battle. Warzone.
Yeah.
Me and my friends used to play that all the time, but then I feel like that's sort of, and that's just what's the right word? Incidental. But I feel like I only hear about like Fortnite stuff because they're the ones doing new things. Apex Legends occasionally pops off with like, we've got this event going on. Outside of that, I feel like unless you have a major name attached to it, it's not going to blow up, and Halo is not wielding the weight that it used to.
Yeah, I guess, like, do you think it's because Battle Royales are losing popularity that they stopped working on it? Or do you think because they released Forge and you essentially have your community making free Battle Royale modes in the game, is that the reason that they, like, to me, I'm kind of I've played Halo since the Forge update. I think it adds a lot to the game. Honestly, Halo Infinite is the best it's ever been right now because of all of the stuff that's been added to it. You know, but with that being said, I am kind of concerned that Microsoft's gonna be like, well, we gave you guys the toolbox, and so we're not gonna do anything else. Because we gave you the toolbox. And so if you really want more stuff, we gave you the stuff to do it.
I just hope for, like, if they're doing this, I hope it's only because they are working on, like, a very moving narrative project. That's, like, the main focus is going to be the campaign. We're going to get some real good gameplay. We're going to, like, care about Master Chief. And what makes me kind of think that is that they recently just dropped a trailer for Halo, the second season of the show, which is like the Fall of Reach, which is, again, a storyline I love. I could not be moved to care about that show if Paul Schreiber came over here and picked me up in his Master Chief outfit and forced me to watch it. But that said, I that's my dream case scenario. Like, okay, we're just gonna not do this because we know multiplayer stuff's kind of like fading. It buys some bad will when people make a just multiplayer game. And Sony's got all these bangers of story games. Why don't we do one like that? You know?
You think? I mean, I don't know if Halo's the
Halo's franchise. Their ticket.
Yeah, I don't think Halo's the franchise to do it with is the thing. Like, they kind of phoned it in with the Halo Infinite campaign story-wise. So I don't know. I guess, you know, kind of bouncing off your point and what I said previously is I am concerned that them, all these rumors coming out and them being like, we canceled this Battle Royale Halo, whether it was a mode or it was a separate game, is kind of signifying, hey, we're not going to support Halo Infinite anymore. Like, we're going to keep the servers up. We're going to, you know, make sure things are on rotation. But we are moving on because this isn't picking up steam like other games are. Like, we can't compete with COD or Fortnite. We just can't.
It's, yeah, I mean, the other hope that I have is that they will just redouble their focus on Halo Infinite. And maybe, like, actively put more attention onto making the multiplayer better. But I doubt it.
Do you want... Here's a question. Do you want another Halo game?
Yes. Yeah.
In what capacity do you want another Halo game?
Ooh, I mean, okay. Two of my favorite Halo games were Reach and ODST. Mm-hmm. And they were more story-focused, story-driven, like, or campaign-focused, campaign-driven games. In that, like, Halo in an open world, kind of a messy little guy, which we got with Halo Infinite. I like something a little bit more directed and those action set pieces being, like, pushed forward. I also think that the original Halo was kind of transformative when it came to first-person shooters. Like, when that dropped...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course. I want them to do that next early Halo. Like,
yeah.
What would you just say? Sorry, say it again.
I want them to do that again. Like, to use Halo as their, like, our flagship. This is how we're going to move first-person shooters forward. Mm-hmm. I want them to figure out whatever they need to figure out. If it's, like, fully destructible physics and it's smarter AI and, like, you know, battle scenes that seem more real. Whatever you need to do to just change how we look at first-person shooters, do that for the next Halo game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see gameplay changes. The Halo's gameplay needs to change. They've still got something there. Like, you can give it the God of War treatment. It's like, it's not, you still have the Blades of Chaos, you know, but you know, can you actually let me aim down the sights? You know, can you add, you know, really solidified awesome parkour mechanics? Can you make the environment destructible, like I'm playing the finals or like I'm playing a Battlefield game? You know, I think that would be tremendous. But you were talking about how you said that you think ODST and Reach are some of the best Halo games, some of your favorite Halo games, because you love the story with those. And I would say it's like you probably really like the story because those are squad games. And so you have a cast of characters in which to tell that story through.
Yeah.
Whereas, the traditional Master Chief Halo format, especially in Halo Infinite, this last game, it's Master Chief is by himself and he's with Cortana, but she's got a software update and she's not evil anymore. And that's the, there's no, you know, I'm all for stoic types And I think there's a hardcore fan base out there who likes Master Chief the way that he is. And I'm not going to tell them that Master Chief needs to change, but Kratos needed to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry, David Jaffe, but Kratos needed to change. And I think, like, you kind of, it's kind of like what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. It's just like, I feel like if you don't evolve, you're going to die. And like, I don't see any future with Halo right now. Like, I don't even think kids know what Halo is anymore. Like, unless you have an Xbox and you play it free to play. Like,
Yeah, okay. Here's what I want. I've just decided after everything that you said, because I feel like you said, Master Chief needs to change, right?
Right.
Give me a different style of game where I play as Master Chief. Like, give me a Mass Effect game, or give me, Halo's really good with tactics games, like Halo Wars, a game where you're playing as Master Chief. He's moved up in the UNSC and he's like running things, and you have to make deals with different like packs of humans throughout, like scattered throughout space, like something that we can see that Master Chief has grown, that John 3117 is a different person now. And then give me a game where I'm playing as a new Spartan who doesn't have like unlimited survivability, because I feel like with these games also, Reach and ODST, you feel a little bit more vulnerable.
Sure.
And Master Chief is just invincible.
He's Superman.
He is. It's cool.
It's a little boring, though.
But I think it's boring.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get back to what Reach did, which is just like, just have a squad of Spartans. Have a squad of Spartans. They can be new Spartans. You can change the rules. You know, they had, I think in Halo 5, when you didn't play as Master, or you played as him for half the time.
Locke?
Yeah, you played as Locke, and not that that was a good story, but it was trying to do the Halo Reach vibe of, we have a squad, and we're going to put a lead character who actually speaks in sentences that are longer than 5 words. And so, yeah, they need a change. They need an update. I have a hard time seeing it happen, just because when, like, what they did is, because Bungie's obviously not making Halo, and so Microsoft, you know, came out with, was it 343, right?
343 Industries, yeah.
Yeah, and I have nothing against those guys. I think it's great, but there should be something said when, you know, you're hired to keep something the same. And, you know, it's like a head chef at a restaurant. If you hire him and for 2 years, like, he's never allowed to, or, you know, he or she or they or whatever, never allowed to change the menu, you know, are they really going to be putting the best food that they can forward because they're not allowed to change the menu? So I would,
letting 343 have a break and do something besides Halo might be interesting as well.
Yeah, that could be fantastic. Like, I'd love to see a more Mass Effect-y game. Or, like, you could even, I would be fine with them doing a Halo universe game. Like, you want to expand the Halo universe? Go for it. This is a different game. This is a third person stealth shooter. It's ODST. You got to make your own character and play like an RPG. You know, like, sure, whatever. Or this is a fleet.
Give me Dark Ages Halo, where, like,
why not?
You're in the same world, but it's a medieval game.
Sure. Just give it the Warhammer treatment.
Dumb as hell.
So I'd like to see changes, and if they don't do that, then I don't know. Just move on to another franchise, I guess. I'm really puzzled by this leak.
It's a bummer. I mean, like, I think ultimately Halo is currently just kind of rudderless. Like, Microsoft doesn't, like with many things, Microsoft is just, I wouldn't say stretched too thin, because they have kind of unlimited money, but they're just doing so many things that you don't feel like... like, before, I feel like Halo was always safe, because that was their flagship. And now I'm just sort of like, they could drop Halo, and maybe we won't see it for 10 years.
Yeah, maybe it'll have a roaring comeback. You know, get the big, well, we won't have an E3 press conference to reveal it. So
the E4 press conference,
E4 that's press what comes conference next. In 2034, or 2044, it'll be E4.
Oh, there we go.
Oh my God.
The Halo reboot gets announced at E4, which is two major things coming back. I love that.
That would be amazing. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our main topic and for our news this week, Phil, unless you have any wonderful little anecdote you want to supply us with towards the end of this episode.
Oh, no.
I was like, there's a lot of pressure, Paul.
No, I don't mind getting thrown into the bus. I just, I'm all out of news juice.
Yeah, for real. But I know I am excited to play Last of Us and to play some more games, and hopefully we'll get up to play some more games together as well. But yeah, thank you for joining us on this week of the GGG podcast. If you liked our show, please give us a subscribe, give us a like, and if you're listening to us through some sort of podcast service, please like us and subscribe there. Maybe even write a review. Who knows? Whatever you feel is right. All right. Well, thank you for joining me this week, Phil, and we will see you next week.
Peace.